It is Tuesday, October 9th, and this is VOA's International Edition. I'm Sarah Williams in Washington. Coming up, U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations Nikki Haley announces she's resigning. Turkish investigators will search the Saudi Arabian consulate in Istanbul following the disappearance of a Saudi journalist.
If it really, this guy was dismembered or killed, that's, we are talking about totally a very new development.
And we look at Hollywood's history of stereotyping female characters. It's all ahead. U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations Nikki Haley Tuesday announced her intention to resign by the end of the year. Haley met with President Donald Trump at the White House. In front of the news media, Trump praised her performance.
Nikki Haley, Ambassador to the United Nations, has been very special to me. She's done an incredible job. She's a fantastic person, very importantly, but she also is somebody that gets it. She has been at the United Nations from the beginning with us, right from the beginning, and worked with us on the campaign. It's been really a long time, very intense, and she told me probably 6 months ago, she said, you know, maybe at the end of the year, at the end of a two-year period, but the end of the year, I want to take a little time off. I want to take a little break. She's been a very successful, as you know, governor of South Carolina for 8 years. And then she did this, and this is possibly even more intense with what's going on in the world and very dangerous and a lot of things.
Haley said the U.S. has an improved position in world affairs because of the Trump administration.
Look at what has happened in 2 years with the United States on foreign policy. Now the United States is respected. Countries may not like what we do, but they respect what we do. They know that if we say we're going to do something, we follow it through. And the president proved that, whether it was with the chemical weapons in Syria, whether it's with NATO, saying that other countries have to pay their share. I mean, whether it's the trade deals, which have been amazing, they get that the president means business and they follow through with that. But then if you look at just these 2 years at the UN, we've cut $1.3 billion in the UN's budget. We've made it stronger. We've made it more efficient. South Sudan, we got an arms embargo, which was a long time coming. Three North Korean sanctions packages, which were the largest in a generation, done in a way that we could really work towards denuclearizing North Korea.
Trump was asked about a successor to Haley.
Well, we have a number of people that would very much like to do it. It's a great position, and Nikki realizes that. I think she's helped make it a much better position, if you want to know the truth. I think it's become maybe a more glamorous position than it was 2 years ago. Maybe, I wonder why, but it is. She's made it a very glamorous position. She's made it a more important position. So we have I can almost say many people that want to do it, and they're very good people.
VOA White House Bureau Chief Steve Herman tells me the Haley announcement came as a surprise.
It certainly did, although what President Trump told reporters in the Oval Office just a little while ago is that Ambassador Haley had come to him about 6 months ago and said around the end of the year, at the two-year mark, she would like to take a rest. And so that is how this is all being portrayed. It is certainly not a firing like we saw with Secretary of State Rex Tillerson. And this doesn't appear to be as the result of some sudden blow up because of policy differences, although these two certainly had their differences. And Nikki Haley has said that publicly, that when she's disagreed with the president, that she has spoken to him directly about it, and he has always been receptive.
Yes, I believe she said that this in her statement. She said she'd spent 6 years as governor of South Carolina, 2 years in this position as U.S. ambassador to the U.N., and she just said she kind of, it was very intense and needed a break.
She's a husband and a mother, so one can expect that it would be legitimate that somebody doing that sort of double duty or triple duty and being in the public spotlight for so long, and as we know, when you're in a job as a governor or an ambassador to the United Nations, it's not a 9-to-5 job. It's essentially a 7-day-a-week job, and you're probably working to some degree 18 hours a day.
Also, and some of this is just speculation, some observers have said, though, that since Mike Pompeo became Secretary of State and John Bolton became National Security Advisor to President Trump, that Nikki Haley might feel some of her influence has diminished.
Well, not only that, but also that she is much more of a moderate voice when it comes to foreign policy than somebody like Pompeo and certainly John Bolton, who's been regarded as a hardliner for a number of years. So in that sense, she would be the odd man out, or we should say the odd woman out here. But again, a healthy administration does have a lot of different types of voices, some who clash, and that has definitely been Trump's modus operandi, is not exactly to have people who are all singing from the same choir book at the same time. And he has always encouraged healthy debate to the point that a lot of critics who have worked in those positions have said that it's actually been quite dysfunctional.
Nikki Haley has been extremely forceful in her appearances before the UN Security Council, particularly in speaking about Russia and Syria, perhaps even almost more forceful than other U.S. ambassadors. Looking at her eventual replacement, and Trump has said he will make an announcement within 2 or 3 weeks, then the next person who will come into this job, you know, has significant shoes to fill.
Certainly. And what Haley said today in the Oval Office alongside the president is during their tenure, and the president also portrayed them as a team on foreign policy, that not everyone, meaning other countries, may like the United States, but they certainly respect the United States now. And that is definitely what Donald Trump has been trying to achieve as president. And as far as what the tenure is going to be like, I think it will depend to a great degree on the personality of the person who will come in to succeed Nikki Haley. Haley was tough, but the way that she came across, I think, earned her a fairly high marks for someone who did not have substantial diplomatic experience.
Although she did have international experience in that her parents are from India. She had that.
She definitely has the multicultural experience. And also as governor of South Carolina, she was dealing with a lot of international companies that were trying to come into the state. So she did have that sort of experience, but she wasn't regarded as a State Department career officer, or had been an ambassador to another country, or had worked high up in administration as a national security advisor or some other position, as we've seen with previous people in this particular position.
And also Nikki Haley was quick to say she will be campaigning for President Trump in 2020,
right,
because there have been some speculation she might want to challenge him.
There's little doubt among political handicappers that she is a Republican presidential candidate at some point in the future, but it seems very unlikely as of today that it will be 2020.
Thanks very much, Steve.
My pleasure, Sarah.
VOA White House Bureau Chief Steve Herman. Here are some of the top news stories that are trending. Zimbabwe police say they will stop protests against a new tax. Hurricane Michael strengthens as it heads towards the Florida panhandle. Brett Kavanaugh hears first arguments as the new U.S. Supreme Court justice. And rapper Kanye West will visit President Trump at the White House. Expanded coverage of these stories and more are on the voanews.com website. This is VOA.
This is Science in a Minute. A team of scientists examined data from NASA's Moon Mineralogy Mapper, or M3 instrument, that was aboard India's Chandrayaan-1 spacecraft to directly observe conclusive proof of water ice on the moon's surface. The team found evidence that the ice was distributed sporadically in the moon's polar regions and could be of ancient origin. Most of the ice at the moon's south pole, found by the scientists, are within lunar craters, while the amount of ice was more widely and thinly spread at the north pole. NASA says that sunlight never reaches the polar regions due to a small tilt of the moon's axis. NASA's M3 instrument, an imaging spectrometer, was able to detect and identify the signatures of three key properties that prove the existence of water ice on the lunar surface. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
This is International Edition on the Voice of America. I'm Sarah Williams. Coming up, there is some fury as advertisers plan to light up Sydney's Opera House. Turkey's foreign ministry says authorities will search Saudi Arabia's consulate in Istanbul in connection with the disappearance of Saudi journalist Jamal Khashoggi. A ministry statement said Saudi Arabia indicated it was open to cooperation, but there were no details about when the search would take place. Turkey said the investigation is being conducted in an intense manner. Meanwhile, U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo added his voice, calling on Saudi Arabia to conduct a thorough investigation into the disappearance of Khashoggi and to be transparent about what it finds. Earlier, President Donald Trump expressed his concerns, saying he didn't like it. Khashoggi entered the Saudi consulate October 2nd for documents related to his pending marriage, and he's not been seen since. A frequent contributor to the Washington Post, the newspaper's editorial board Monday called on Turkey to release any information, including images it may have, and evidence of the presence of 15 Saudi nationals at the consulate at the same time. It also called on Saudi Arabia to produce documents related to Khashoggi's visit. Since the Saudi journalist resided in the U.S. for a year, it said the Trump administration should be pursuing the matter. Turkey's president, Recep Tayyip Erdogan, has taken a personal interest in this case, and he has demanded proof from Riyadh that Khashoggi left the consulate. Some Turkish officials believe he was murdered, perhaps even dismembered and removed. Khashoggi has been a frequent critic of Saudi policy in Yemen and its domestic crackdown on dissent. Alam Payan, director of the Middle East Center at Ohio State University, told International Edition's Victor Beatty, this is an unprecedented case of diplomatic intrigue.
Somehow he was either lured or he went on his own to get some papers there, and he told his fiancée that if I will not appear in 2 or 3 hours, you should call the Turkish police. And that's what his fiancée did, and he just disappeared.
He's been a controversial figure. He's a prominent newspaper editor who has been particularly critical of the Crown Prince.
Yeah, that's what he was. He was very critical, especially of this Mohammed bin Salman, who is a Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia right now. And he has started a series of imprisoning people, his opposition and many other businessmen. I do not know if we all have heard that he had put them under some sort of house arrest. So this guy has created a lot of enemies, and this Khashoggi was one of those who left Saudi Arabia at his own risk, and he was writing about this kind of dictatorial monarchy in Saudi Arabia. So he was very critical of the Saudi Arabian regime. So if you put all these things together, then apparently probably he was not liked in Saudi Arabia. The Saudi regime did not like him. So this is a crisis now between Turkey and Saudi Arabia, and also there is a potential that in the United States also there are some senators, especially Senator Corker of Tennessee and also Chris Coon. They're asking also that, well, where is this Khashoggi? It's a big news. It's a big, important development. It can become a crisis about Saudi's relationship with other Middle Eastern countries.
President Donald Trump weighed in, but his choice of words was very restrained. He said, I'm concerned. I don't like hearing about it. Hopefully this will sort itself out. Right now, nobody knows anything about it. The U.S. has to tread very carefully in its relations with Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, because the United States needs Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia is one of the the friendly countries to the United States in the Middle East. But it cannot stay like this.
The Crown Prince has established somewhat of a reputation of being a reformer inside Saudi Arabia. Why this?
Some people call him a reformer. Some people call him a very brutal dictatorial in his views.
Let me ask you about bilateral ties between Turkey and Saudi Arabia. They were already strained over, remember, Turkish troops being sent to Qatar when it was being isolated by a Saudi-led coalition.
This one is extremely important because he was on Turkish soil, and he went to the Saudi Arabian consulate in Istanbul, and I don't think that this has any kind of precedence in the whole Cold War. This kind of thing did not happen. This is a very new development. It's potentially going to be a crisis.
Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman has told Bloomberg News Turkish authorities are welcome to enter the consulate and search it, adding that we have nothing to hide. In Australia, plans to promote a horse race on the sails of the World Heritage-listed Sydney Opera House has prompted a furious backlash. The advertisement is scheduled to light up the iconic landmark later on Tuesday after an order by the New South Wales Premier. Critics say the decision defies Sydney Opera House rules by effectively creating a billboard for the racing and gambling industries. From Sydney, Phil Mercer reports.
Australia's most famous building is the backdrop for a battle between culture and commerce. The board of the Sydney Opera House had rejected the use of its sails for an ad for a horse race, arguing it was inappropriate. But it was overruled by the New South Wales State Premier Gladys Berejiklian. She insisted that plans to illuminate the globally recognised landmark would boost the economy but wouldn't encourage gambling. Her stance is supported by Australian Prime Minister Scott Morrison.
It's not like they're painting it on there. I mean, it's some lights flashing up there for a brief moment in time, and that goes all around the world, and they do it for other things, and, you know, the Wallabies indeed and others. So, look, I just don't understand why we tie ourselves up in knots about these things.
Critics, though, have said advertising would demean the Sydney Opera House, which opened in 1973. Thousands of people have indicated on social media that they'll attend a light-based protest to disrupt the projection with mobile phones and torches. More than 250,000 people have signed an online petition calling for the promotion to be cancelled. They insist the famous sails shouldn't be for sale. The former chief executive of the Sydney Opera House, Michael Lynch, says the planned 10-minute advertising promotion shouldn't go ahead.
I think it is entirely inappropriate as an event even to rank alongside the other sporting events or many of the other things that we've celebrated at the Opera House in the past and the present. I can't imagine that at the Paris Opera or the Royal Opera House in London, you know, they'd be celebrating horse races on the front of either of those buildings or at Lincoln Center in New York.
Building sails are often lit up for art and cultural events, as well as to celebrate Australia's international sporting successes. A UNESCO spokesperson said it was looking into the matter, but wouldn't immediately comment on plans to project a racing advert onto a building it listed as a World Heritage Site in 2007. Phil Mercer for VOA News, Sydney.
This is VOA.
When news breaks, VOA Africa is there. Bringing you news as it happens. Listen to Africa News Tonight, Monday through Friday at 1600 and 1800 UTC. And our five-minute newscasts come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.
Hi, I'm Nikki Strong. You love music? How about Blake Shelton and Carrie Underwood? Or Merle Haggard and Loretta Lynn? Experience the best in country music on Country Hits USA. I bring you some country rock, outlaw, a little hillbilly, contemporary, and more, with a dash of entertainment news, too. So join me for Country Hits USA on VOA 1, the voice of America.
This is International Edition. The discrimination and objectification of women in Hollywood is not a new phenomenon. For decades, sexist behavior by powerful men in the industry has been part of the star system, and it has influenced how stories were told on the large screen. In the first part of a two-part series on gender inequality, VOA's Penelope Pulu examines sexist stereotypes in iconic films that have permeated our popular culture.
Hello, pot pie. How about a date? All right, cherie. The courtship is over.
Whole generations grew up with Pepe Le Pew, the persistent skunk in constant pursuit of Penelope the Pussycat.
Ah, my little darling, it is love at first sight, is it not?
The cartoon first appeared on TV screens in 1945 and was considered, cute and romantic. Today, Pepe Le Pew's unwanted advances feel creepy and reflect how female characters were scripted, says English professor at George Mason University, Lisa Koch.
Being portrayed as sexual objects, being portrayed passively, early on being the objects of sexual harassment, sexual violence, stalking, like in the example with Pepe Le Pew.
I warn you, I've always thought a good lashing with a buggy whip would benefit you immensely.
The tumultuous relationship between Rhett Butler and Scarlett O'Hara in the 1939 epic Gone with the Wind was scripted, produced, and promoted by Hollywood as a passionate love affair.
Yankees to see you last.
Take your hands on me, you skunk!
But moviegoers today see clear signs of domestic abuse in the relationship between the two main characters. Rhett Butler is derisive and controlling towards Scarlett, who is presented as petulant, erratic, and manipulative. Lisa Koch says fictional stories and characters such as these have reinforced and legitimized male chauvinism through popular culture.
So if we focus just on Hollywood, the fact that it is a male institution, male-dominated institution, that is definitely linked to these portrayals of women. And the more women are employed behind the scenes, the less of that we will see.
Sexism and abuse on script also reflected behind-the-scenes sexual harassment and abuse of actresses by filmmakers and other males of the Hollywood establishment, says director of film and video studies at GMU, Giovanna Chesler.
You read about how Bertolucci and Marlon Brando had an arrangement for their actress in Last Tango in Paris. They knew that this would be a rape scene that they were filming, but she did not. You know, they take agency away. And then in the case of Hitchcock, you know, abusing all of these women psychologically, particularly, to get better performances out of them.
In her 2016 autobiography, Tippi Hedren, a memoir, Hedren, Hitchcock's main muse and star of his films The Birds and Marnie, recounts the psychological abuse and sexual harassment she suffered at the hands of the director. Hedren writes that when she turned down his sexual advances, he threatened to destroy her career. Giovanna Chesler says that this pervasive culture of sexism and blackmail produced sexual predators such as Hollywood mogul Harvey Weinstein.
He was the Oscar maker, and he anointed all of these actresses into Oscar-producing roles. With the hope, potentially, I imagine, they thought that once they got into that role, once they really broke through, they would get out of being sexualized on screen. How ironic that to do so, they had to deal with this predator.
Professor Lisa Koch says ultimately the narrative that has reinforced gender inequality in Hollywood is changing because more and more moviegoers, especially young adults, are turning away from Hollywood's stereotypical scripts and sexist messages. Penelope Pulu, VOA News, Washington.
And that is our show. Please visit our website at voanews.com. I'm Sarah Williams. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you. September.